Welcome back to the TOD Project, a long-awaited episode 3 after some time of a hiatus. Anyways, we are back today. Obviously, if you're on YouTube, you can see who we got on already, but if you're on Spotify, you cannot see that. Today, we have a very special guest today. As you know, Marcellus and I, we run our own company called Triumph Company, and today we have our newest brand ambassador on today. His name is Sim Nelson. We'll get into a little bit about him today soon here. But I'm going to have Marcellus kind of talk over here, give you guys a little intro and everything. Have you guys hear his voice today? Marcellus, how you doing?
I'm doing good and fantastic. Abundance is flowing to my life. I'm so happy to get back to doing this, because this is one way I can really express myself, put my energy out there, and help others be able to, you know, get through those challenges and stuff throughout their day. So wherever you're at right now, you listen to this in the car, you maybe listen to the headphones, the gym, whatever you're doing, hopefully you just sit back and enjoy this, because the person that we got on this podcast, Sim, is a beast from the East. And, you know, I truly love the art of MMA. I love the work ethic that MMA fighters put in every single day. And he said as soon as he got this podcast, he's going to go ahead and train anyway. So I already know, you know, you guys are going to enjoy the story he has, the work ethic, the grind, the dedication he puts in. And I'm just excited to, you know, see how this thing turns out at the end of this podcast. This is something I think that we're going to come back and look at and be like, damn. Sim was just there. Now that man's fighting in UFC. He on be in the video game. Like, that's stuff that I'm seeing right now. So I really feel like right now we just plant the seed. He's just planting seeds right now, and he's about to grow into a beautiful tree. And so I'm just grateful to be able to share this platform with him and Jared. So let's get it, guys.
So Sim, my man, introduce yourself. How you doing today?
Man, I am doing well. I'm blessed to be here again. Thank you guys for the opportunity. Sim Nelson, just a 21-year-old kid from Wisconsin, from Green Bay. Grew up playing football. I've been an athlete, like, all my life. So working hard in the gym is nothing really new. It's kind of a habit now. Started playing football at a very young age. Had hoop dreams like pretty much every other kid, I feel like. Hoop dreams, football dreams, whether it just be a sport or anything like that. So I've always been motivated from the get-go. Came to school. Stevens Point to play football, Division III. After a few years, I don't know, I kind of fell out of love with it. I realized I was doing it for the wrong reasons. And then I wanted to do something that kept me in shape, but I wanted to rely on myself. Football is a really big team-oriented sport. You guys may know already. Mm-hmm. Football is huge. But it's a very team-oriented sport. And I wanted to take the opportunity to do something that I can focus on myself, and it's me versus me. You know what I mean? So, and MMA was the perfect thing for that. And I've always been like a scrappier kid when I was young. I was always getting into fights on the playground and stuff like that. Kids don't do that. But I was always that kid, and I'm like, well, why not? I'll give this a shot. Let's see where it goes. So that's where I'm at.
Hell yeah. I love to hear that. If you guys don't know him and Brandon, you guys know Brandon Bacina, our other brand ambassador, soon to be sponsored athlete. They work together. Would you guys be considered on the same, cause you fight at the same club? What is that? What is that like terminology?
We're on the same fight team.
Okay. Fight team. That's what it is. Okay. I didn't want to use something that wasn't correct, but anyways, that's how we came in contact with Sim. We had a conversation with Brandon about us, you know, wanting to get people from around the area, and asked if he had anyone in mind. And he, you know, reached out to Sim, asked Sim if he'd be down. And then now here we are, Sim Nelson. Welcome to the team. But yeah, Sim, I guess you kind of explained this already. I have a question off the bat. And then I'm sorry, Marcellus, if you had a question, but I kind of want to get this. I was thinking about this. You did mention that the reason you're doing MMA is because it's you versus you. Is there like there's got to be like a personal charge behind that, but is there something that drives that like you versus you mentality in you as a person, or something that happened to you as a person or when you were younger, something like that, that drives that like me wanting to get better? It's me versus my mind, like that type of mindset.
Yeah, absolutely. So I come from a football family, and my father played football at the University of Ann Arbor, Michigan. So a lot of what I was doing in that regard for football was kind of in his shadow, and I wanted to like follow in his footsteps. I realized later down the road that that wasn't really me. Like, it was me, like I enjoyed it, but I wasn't doing it for me. I was doing it for an existential reason, like something else. And I realized that if you really want to get better and you always want to like grow, you got to improve yourself. And the only person that really holds you back is yourself, really. And that's where that whole me versus me mentality comes from. Cause it really is you versus you. You wake up, you're in your own body every single day. And sometimes your brain tells you stuff that you may not like, and everybody has negative thoughts, and you just got to have that battle with yourself every day. It's you versus you.
Sheesh. Hey man, look, you're very motivational without even having to like try to be motivational. But bro, I want to ask you, like, what was the most difficult moment in your life, and what did you do to really get over that, get through that?
One of the most difficult moments in my life where I realized it was me versus me, I'd have to say losing family members and having things not necessarily go the way you planned it. I'm still super young. So like at, let's say like 3 years ago or 2 years ago, I was a completely different person mentally. So stuff hit different. And that's when I kind of really had to understand how you can take things, really. Like losing a family member is one of the biggest things. Recently, I lost a really close, really, really close auntie of mine. And I just had to like sit down with myself and be like, yo, like, how are you going to grow from this? Instead of letting it eat away at me, I kind of allowed myself to feel that grief. And you learn a lot about yourself when you meditate and have conversations with yourself. Let me tell you that. So yeah, just losing family members and going through hard times.
Sheesh, bro. I already know how you feel, man. When I lost my dad, bro, like, that really took a lot out of me, because that was one of the main people that I got up every day and was wanting to, you know, create wealth for, be able to go pro for, be able to, you know, just become successful for, because I seen him struggle with addiction, struggle with problems, struggle with so many things in his life. And it really wasn't, a lot of it wasn't his fault. You know, as a kid, he, you know, was molested as a child. Like, he went through a lot, and, you know, having him like losing my dad, bro, like, oh my God, it was a bad feeling. But now every single day, I know when I'm slipping, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, or if I'm not really like, you know, motivated, I think back like, okay, how would my dad feel about me right now? Like, you know, you were motivated when your dad was alive, you know what I'm saying? You should be even more motivated, you know what I'm saying? And I ask myself questions like that. Like, but I appreciate you, bro, for saying that. I thought it was going to be something else. I thought you were going to say, like, the roughest time was, like, when you, you know, you was playing football and then that didn't work out. And then maybe, you know what I'm saying? But you lost the eye and a family member. Like, family is very, very important. But now, since you're an MMA, I want to kind of shift the whole podcast. Well, I ain't going to say shift the whole podcast, but I want to kind of, like, get more positive with this thing. But yeah. So you're an MMA fighter, and you're definitely going against people on a daily basis, bro. Have you ever been like rocked from a kick or a punch and like you were like knocked out?
Absolutely, man. So we do, as you level up in the discipline, Muay Thai, for example, you have to test for your belt. And usually the testing requires you to, you know, hard sparring rounds with the people in your gym, and your sensei as well. And man, my sensei is a bad dude, let me tell you. And head kicks, he's got a really strong karate background. And the head kicks, he will slip, and he'll slip them in there. And there were a few times during the testing where I thought I was going to be out. I thought I was out. And yeah, man, you get caught, and it's really the shots that you don't see coming that rock you. So it happens often. It happens pretty often.
Have you ever fought Brandon?
Oh, him and I scrap all the time. Him and I scrap all the time. It started out, it's crazy you asked that. It's crazy you asked that, because the more and more we spar, and like the better I'm getting and the better he's getting, it's just like, it's like play. It's like, it's like a game of chess. We're like figuring each other out. We know our habits because he trains me and I work real close with him. So we find out each other's patterns. We kind of play that game with each other. And it's just like human chess. You almost have to, I think of it as like, I'm not even thinking anymore. I'm just letting my body do its work, all that muscle memory. And you're just watching like a video game. Like your brain is you're watching the video game and you're just letting your body work. You guys are moving, picking each other apart, and it's fun. We scrap a lot.
I love that. I do like even though MMA is like such a individual type of sport or type of, you know, action and how you carry those out, like it's just like anything else when you practice, like you got to have an equal, if not better opponent for you to get better. Right. So having all your buddies in there, having all your buddies just pushing each other to get better. That's just one of the best things I've seen you guys like post on your Instagram and like the clips of you guys just smacking each other around and like you guys get each other good and you back up a little bit like, damn, that was a good one. You like give each other like a high five or something. And then you just back into it, just locked in. Like, I think like, when it comes to something as competitive and as physically intensive as MMA, like having someone there that can push you as hard as they think you will go or as hard as you are able to go, and then also be able to come back and smile with you and like, you know, give you a hug and like love you and cherish you as a competitor and a friend, you know, that only makes you grow that much more.
Yeah, I 100% agree. You definitely, it's a bonding thing. When you go through tough times like that and let's say you scrap with a buddy of yours and you guys are really going through intense workouts with each other, you bond. It's a bonding thing. It's huge.
So what are you doing to get prepared for this fight next month? Oh my God, bro, I cannot wait. I sent Jared the money to get my ticket. I'm excited, bro. You know, so I want to be front row. I want to see it all. I want to feel the energy. I low key want to hear the wind, like fucking, like from your fucking fist, bro. Like I'm ready. I'm excited for it. So, what are you really doing to prepare yourself? You know, mentally, because Brandon told me that, you know, he likes to he reads and meditates and stuff. He don't really seem like a guy that really like meditates like that, but he said he does, and, you know, that really helps him be able to channel his energy and everything like that. So, like, what do you do to, like, put yourself in that great mental state where, you know, you're ready and prepared? Because we're, like, what, 4 or 5 weeks away?
Yep, yeah, yep. August 21st.
August 21st. Yeah, we're about five weeks away. He's definitely right. Like, a lot of fighters do that. You meditate. If you're not meditating, you're stretching or just sitting in silence. Getting to know yourself, getting comfortable in your own thoughts. And for me, I'm not as big as a reader as Brandon is, but I do meditate a lot. Like every morning before a practice or before I go to work or anything like that, you just sit. You sit, you breathe, you stretch. And when you're recovering, so when you're working out as hard as a lot of fighters do, it takes a lot of recovery. You do a lot of stuff outside of the gym too. It's kind of like homework. And that's another thing when you're like foam rolling, stretching, taking care of your body, all that stuff, that's when you have the opportunity to lock in, be present and just, you know, take in the energy, channel that energy and, meditate. Meditating is huge. So meditating is probably my biggest thing that I do outside of the gym to get me prepared for fights.
Do you read any books by chance?
I've read a few. A lot of them were given to me by previous mentors and former teachers and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I should say the biggest one that I've read is sitting over here. It's a book by Kobe Bryant.
Is yeah. The Mama Mentality book, the big thick yep. black one. Yep. Yeah, that's gonna get you right.
Yep. And then another mentor of mine, this one's probably my favorite. I have the Rich Dad, Poor Dad. It's probably a staple for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Can't go wrong with that. Well, I've been wanting to ask you this as well, bro. Like, so you're in MMA. I know your end goal is to become professional, you know, be one of the top guys like what's his name? Israel. Adesanya. I be getting his name kind of mixed up sometimes, but I know he's one of the top guys in the game. And I just seen, you know, some highlights from Conor McGregor's fight, him freaking breaking his ankle. Like, oh my God. But I want to ask you, who is your favorite fighter? And also, who do you want to fight that's already professional? That would be like your dream fight.
Oh man, that is an amazing question. My favorite fighter currently. Let's go. We'll go both sides. We'll go male and female favorite fighters in the UFC. Oh, my favorite
female too. Okay.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Absolutely. So my favorite male fighter, I would have to go with Darren Till. Fights out of Liverpool, and that man is a dog. Like when you look in the dictionary and look up the word dog, his face is plastered right there. That man just, he's an animal. He's got great, great pressure. He's a southpaw, so I got to respect that. And his Muay Thai is world-class. That's one thing I admire is his Muay Thai. Favorite female fighter in the UFC? That's a tough one because there are some women who are some dogs. I got mad respect for a lot of them. I'd have to go with Joanna Jędrzejczyk. She's a Polish fighter, former, I think it's a featherweight champion. That woman is monstrous. She is terrifying. And again, like, started training at like 16. She was an athlete up until then. So she's already had that background kind of similar to me. Mm-hmm. And man, her striking is just next level. And it's always admirable to see how they can display their art at the highest level. It's really cool.
Do you think she can whoop you?
Absolutely, without a chance. She puts the sticks to me easily.
Well, I gotta look her up. If she's that good, then dang, I need to see what's good with it.
What's your dream fight? What's your dream fight?
Oh, my dream fight. That's a tough one. I mean,
dream. I guess do you got someone that you want to call out right now, or?
I don't got anybody that I want to call out right now. once I get a few more under my belt, then I'll be like, okay, I like this guy. I want to see what he's about.
Bro, ain't that kind of cool though? Like, you kind of in MMA, you kind of can call your own like fights and stuff once you get to a certain level, you know? Like, hell, Conor damn near can call anybody out and fight damn near anybody wants to, just like Poirier now, you know, he's won what, like the last five of his last like seven fights or something like that. Man's been going crazy. But
I think he's undefeated in his last like 13 or 12.
Something like that. He's I know his record's crazy here lately.
Oh wait, no, that might have been Sean. What's his last name?
Sean O'Malley.
Sean O'Malley. Oh, I think
the guy that had the freaking braid, dude. That dude's got fucking hands.
I think he's got sticks.
I think he's undefeated in his last 13. I may have.
There was a controversial loss, but got kicked in like the leg and his nerve went bad and he like rolled his ankle, hurt himself mid fight, and then it finished it kind of like a doctor stoppage with the McGregor fight, very similar, but but he tells his fans, he's like, yeah, I'm 13-0. I didn't really lose that fight. And I can see that. I agree with him a bit. No, Poirier, that man, I think the only person that I've seen him lose to is Habib. And of course Habib is not human whatsoever.
Yeah, no. When in your record, so he's 28-6-0. Is the second number, is that losses or is that?
I believe the second one is losses, and then the last one is draw.
Okay, because in soccer the middle number is draws and the last number is losses, so that's why I was confused. But yeah, he's 28-6-0. Poirier is.
Hopefully I'm not wrong. Somebody please correct me. Anybody's listening, please correct me.
No, I think you're right, though.
I think you're good.
Okay.
But that's the thing. MMA is different than boxing. Like, boxing, it's like if you lose a fight, like it's almost like your career goes down the drain. Like, you need to be undefeated more than likely. And UFC, dang near everybody has, a loss or two on their belt.
That is one crazy thing about MMA is as skilled as you are, it can always go either way. It can always go either way. Unless the gap and skill is that large. Mm-hmm. If you two are about the same, skill level, like skill wise, it can always go either way. Somebody can get clipped. Somebody can eat a leg kick. Something can always happen. Like you saw with the fights this past weekend, anything can always happen.
Mm-hmm. I just love the essence of like, all it takes is one punch or one kick. Like you, even if it's like somewhat against Khabib, all it takes is you to catch Khabib, right? And it, he's going down just like any other human would go down, you know? It's like it'd be the underdog could just come out and just clock him and that'd be it.
It's very unpredictable. Yeah, you're totally right. And the guys who can take a ton of shots and just walk through them and weather the storm, those guys got heart. And I've
Nate Diaz.
A lot of Nate Diaz. Mm-hmm. So many people have respect for that because they know, like people who really know and who really train, they know like you get rocked, it's a very uncomfortable thing. And sometimes your mind will be wanting to do another thing, but your body is just like, nope, it won't let it happen. Mm-hmm. So those guys who can walk through shots and weather them like that, mad respect.
Especially if they're like, if they're not like heavyweight, like obviously you see some heavyweight dudes take punches just because they're big old brute humans. But like you take like a guy like McGregor size, like what is he, one or like Sean O'Malley, like 145, 135 in that
135, yeah.
You see someone of that size taking punches, like that's impressive because they don't got much weight behind it, you know?
It is impressive, man.
They don't got much. Like compared to the bigger guys, they just don't got much weight to fall back on. And you just see them just eat punches for lunch. And it's just like, Jesus.
Oh, yeah, there's hard. My bad for cutting you off, bro. There's another aspect we didn't talk about. The ground game, bro. Like you can get submitted, or if you don't like tap, somebody can literally like choke you out till you fall asleep, or somebody can get you in an arm bar and fucking break your arm off. Like, what was the worst like position you were in like on the ground? Because I know there's like over under, there's so many different like ground game techniques, but have you ever been like locked in an arm bar or in a raw choke?
All the time. Yeah, all the time. I train with a lot of very, very skilled jiu-jitsu players. And those guys, if I'm not on my P's and Q's and I'm not following my principles, they will slip some slick stuff on me and they will make me pay for it. Even the women, like everyone is good. Everyone's killer. So you have to always be locked in, always be paying attention to what you're doing. And yeah, when you're not paying attention, anyone can get you in the right thing and they can finish it. It's all about learning. It seems like the person who has the most knowledge, regardless of like your build or like your athletic ability, the person with the most knowledge and who can keep the most poise when they're in stressful situations like that, they'll almost always come out on top.
So what would you say your specialty is?
I was going to ask that.
like what's your main style? Where do you like to be? Are you a stand-up guy? You ground guy?
I've got more confidence in my stand-up than my ground game. Like my ground game, I'd say, is pretty good for someone who's starting out. But I've got a lot of confidence in my sticks right here. I got a lot of confidence in my hands. So I like to keep the fight on the feet.
Hell yeah, I love that. Hey, that means your defense has got to be good. So
when you get beat up by Brandon and our sensei and a lot of other guys at the gym that've been doing this for years, you start to get used to defending well and getting good with your defense.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon's like, how tall is Brandon? I know Brandon's taller than you, and he probably weighs a little bit more than you as well.
He weighs a lot more than you do.
Dude, yeah, so I walk around at like 185, 190-ish. Brandon walks around comfortably at like 205, 210 when he's in fight camp. That man's like 6'3", maybe like 6'3", something like that. He's long and rangy.
He's a mega human.
So, dude. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so then how does that like add up? Like you guys are fighting. He has the reach. He has the weight. He has the height. But then again,
he's got the experience too.
That gives you, that makes you better though, because you're going to be fighting guys that are like the same exact size and height and everything. And so if you're fighting against him, he's 6'3", 210, 205, and he's got a longer reach. When you go against people your size, it's going to be like, oh shit, this ain't nothing. You know, so I can get in on you. I can, you know, so it's good that you're actually fighting someone or sparring against someone that's bigger than you. That's amazing, man. That dude's story, How he was telling us about the freaking brawls he used to do outside. Like, he used to literally, like, fight a lot of people on, like, bars, freaking out there in fields. He used to pull up to people's houses and fight and stuff. I'm glad that he's not doing that no more. I'm glad he's, like, legally doing
that. Hey, he was on the res when he was young. He was on the res when he was younger, though. You got to be scrappy.
True.
For real. And his transformation is...
Yeah, like...
inspiring, let me tell you. That transformation is crazy.
That man's went through so much, and nice. To see him where he is now, it's crazy.
It's crazy. Like, just like Marcellus was saying, like, going with somebody like that every day, having them train you with you, it makes you, iron sharpens iron. You guys know that better than, you know, a lot of other people, and iron does really sharpen iron. And someone like that in my corner, I'm just grateful to have him. Some other guys at the gym in particular, Devin, he's another guy that's on our fight team. He always brings it. He's kind of longer too, so he's got the reach on me. I got to move my head, get inside. Our sensei, Jason Mentz, that man is – he's the definition of a walking weapon. Judo, jiu-jitsu, karate, muay thai, all of that. Like, that man is – he's something else. He's a bad dude. And – I'm just glad I've met those guys, because those guys make me better. Like, I'm nothing without any of my team. Like, those guys are the reason why I work so hard.
Got to have a good team around you, man. I love hearing that. I really do. It seems like you guys over, I guess their whole kind of thing over at CWB, I just love following their socials and everything, and seeing everyone like that they're involved with just putting the work in. I love the culture that they've kind of established with all that stuff. So it's awesome. It's awesome to see that. You're definitely in the right spot, I would say.
I feel good, man. It's like home.
Turn up. Hey, I got another question. So, like, how skilled do you have to be for your hands to, like, officially be registered, where, like, if you go to a bar and you knock somebody out, you can get locked up for it? Because a lot of these UFC fighters, MMA fighters, man, they're literally, like you said, walking weapons. Yes. And the normal person or get drunk or act stupid and think just because this person looks a certain way that they don't know how to whoop that ass, and they do, and they get locked up. So, like, do you have to have, like, certain, like, belts to get that? Or, like, what is the process on that? And are your hands registered right now?
So, when you, let's say, for amateur and professional, so when you register to be an amateur fighter, you do have to get registered, and you have to send everything to, like, a commission to approve everything for you. Some say that is when you get your hands registered. But I personally think that, like, when you go professional, because once you go professional, you are considered a professional. You earn money to do this, and that is your profession. Mm-hmm. And you also have to get registered the same way. That's when I consider people that's when I think that your hands are really registered and you're considered a weapon, is when you're professional. Some say when you're amateur, but I like to think when I'm professional, that's when I'm really going to have my hands registered. Mm-hmm.
I can say another thing about you, bro. You don't really have the cauliflower ear. You know, nope. What I'm saying? Like, what's up with that? Is that like a thing that just happens to most fighters that get on the ground a lot? Like, what really causes that fluid? And, like, some fighters, they take pride in that. Some fighters love that. Me, it's like, oh my God. Like, oh, I couldn't stand it if I had an ear like that.
Man, so it's primarily wrestlers. So wrestlers, when they're,
oh,
did we lose him?
He's roboting around. We may have lost you.
Oh, no. You know, early years when you're always kind of rubbing your ears against the mat.
Hey, Sim.
All right, you guys can hear me? What's up?
Your video's frozen, so if you want to stop your video and redo it. Yeah, there we go. You're coming back. Seems like you're coming back. Okay.
All right, we back?
We should be back. Yeah.
All right. We all good? Perfect. So, yeah, wrestlers, they spend a lot of time rolling around, grappling each other, rubbing their ears against the mat, and other guys as well. So that's usually where that comes from. It's like a hematoma of your cartilage, and a lot of blood builds up in there, and it just gets puffed up. And when it stays like that, it's just because all that blood is coagulated, and it just sticks in your ear cartilage. It's just a giant puddle of blood that's in there. And it just comes from grappling. I do jiu-jitsu. That's my main grappling discipline. I haven't gotten it yet because I do wear some headgear here and there, but I also don't rub my ears on the mat like a lot of other guys do, I guess. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It is like a stamp of approval. I'm looking to get, like, I want it. Like, it is a stamp of approval. A lot of great fighters are wrestlers, and you will notice that they have that cauliflower ear. So it's kind of like a badge of honor.
Yeah, I coach like junior legion baseball, which is like 17U, and there's a kid on the team that has cauliflower ear, and he says the same thing because I've asked him about it. I'm like, how do you got that already? And he's like 16 years old, and he said, I mean, honestly, it's just because he wrestles a bunch, and he's like, people don't even like think it's a bad thing. Like, wrestlers, they want that because it's like, you work hard, you put the time in, like, you do it a lot, that's how you get it. So
I want that. I want it. Yes, it's like it is a badge of honor. I'll get it. I'll get it soon.
That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
There's actually, it's cool. It's so cool. It's such a thing that there's actually like a local brand, that is built solely around the fact that people get cauliflower ear when they wrestle. It's called Gear. The guy actually was a wrestler at the school that I go to. And I think the concept is pretty dope because he just took it and ran with it. And now it's a thing. It's like a pretty, pretty big thing. It's pretty awesome, man.
What did you say it was called?
It's called Gear. You could probably find it on Instagram, but shout out to Michael Bennick. That's awesome, dude.
Oh yeah, I see it.
Yep.
Gear Sportswear.
Mm-hmm.
The official cauliflower ear brand. I love it. that is awesome. Dude. That's fantastic.
I actually tried to hit him up and I tried to hit him up a while ago to see if he would help me, like, sponsor me for this fight. And I don't think I don't have cauliflower ears, so he wasn't with it.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, sometime in the future, though.
You're disqualified.
Right.
I love that. I love that so much. That's actually pretty dope. Gear, a brand around cauliflower ear. I love that.
That's kind of like when Chris Brown was like saying, like, you hating on the outside of the club because you can't get in. Like, yeah. You ain't got the cauliflower ear, you can't get in. Like, you better
get cauliflower ear now.
Next time you see him, make sure it's all puffed up. What's good? What about now? Huh? Am I good? He over here measuring your cauliflower ear, how big it is and everything. Oh, yeah, I think you're good, man. You're good.
That's crazy. I wonder if that's actually how they do that. Who knows? I'll have to ask.
Yeah, that's almost like going to Six Flags and like there's a height requirement. You can't get on because of the height.
Yeah, right. I'm not tall enough. I can't get in. Man, that's awesome.
Yeah, he's got some pretty nice stuff. Damn, Marcellus, we gotta look into getting Muay Thai shorts.
Dude, I've been thinking about that. I think that's gonna be fucking lit. Okay, so
and gloves and like legging, like
all
fighting leggings, and like, oh, he's got some stuff. Marcellus, I'm gonna send you this link.
Bro, please. Sim. So what do you wear like whenever you're in action? Because I know some fighters, they like to wear those like really tight compression shorts with a cup. Some of them wear like those like kind of like looser baggy shorts, but they're not super long. Like, what do you really like to wear? Because I know you gotta be in there like almost butt naked in there, like, you know what I'm saying, like loose as possible. You know, you don't want clothes getting in the way. So like, what do you wear when you're in action doing your thing?
So I mainly wear tie shorts, which is just like the, you know, the regular Muay Thai shorts. I do have some board shorts, which are just like the longer ones, the looser longer ones that aren't too long. So I wear those, but come fight time, I want to be wearing a pair of like the combat shorts that are like the super tight spandex shorts with the cup. That's what I want to get for come fight time. Cause I mean, it's comfy.
And you got your nuts protected too.
And you got your nuts protected. Yep.
just in case something slips and you get hit below the belt.
It happens more often than you think. Unfortunately.
I can't even imagine how bad. You just take a kick to the nuts. Ooh. Ooh.
Even with the cup, don't feel good.
Oh, like, yeah. I mean, I played baseball my whole life, so like, and I was a catcher, so I know what it feels like to get a ball to the cup. I can only imagine what it feels like it feels like to get a shin to the cup, or like a, you know, a foot to the cup.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, bro. That, oh my, I don't.
Ooh, bro, I thought she's about to say you as a catcher and you didn't wear a cup as a catcher. I was gonna say, damn, you really confident in your skills.
Because I was
even in the outfield one.
if I said I wore a cup every time I caught, I'd be lying. So
yeah, okay.
Definitely been there.
If I said I wore a cup every time I sparred, I'd be lying.
So. Yeah. Damn.
Until you get hit, and when you get hit, you're gonna wear it every time.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You gotta learn the hard way, I guess.
It's the realizing that you're responsible for the things, you know, for if it happens. It's the what's it called? The awareness, the self-awareness that if it happens, it's gonna suck, but you're kind of okay with it. It's a trust in your ability, if anything, right?
You just come to terms with it.
Yeah, that's what it is, yeah. Like, if this happens, it happens, and whatever. Can't get around it. Oh, shit, man.
Man, so what is that song, or what is those songs that you listen to, like, get you in the mode? Because, like, here lately, man, I just got me a new Spotify playlist, bro. Like, I got a manifestation vibes where literally it's all this is about, like, money, grinding, business, like, the mindset. And what is that song, like, you listen to it, man, it's like every single cell in your body's like ready, like, hey, this is my shit. Yeah, what song is that?
Pretty much anything by Lil Baby. I listen to a lot of Lil Baby.
Okay.
So outside of Lil Baby, I listen to a lot of E.T. the Hip Hop Preacher. I don't know if you guys know who that is.
Yes, sir.
He has me ready to run through a brick wall, let me tell you, man. That dude, he does something to you. So I listen to a lot of that when I'm just chilling by myself. But on my way to the gym, at the gym, it's a lot of Lil Baby.
Man, that song, Every Chance I Get, with him and DJ Khaled. Every chance I get. Oh, that beat, boy. I'm over here like, I'll ride to it to the gym. I'll be in the gym just getting it in. Every chance that I get. Hey.
Makes you work hard, man. Yeah, Brandon and I both listen to a lot of Lil Baby, especially in the gym.
Man, I bet you guys just bump it over that stereo system like it's nothing.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Ooh. Damn.
Well, dang, I mean, I was expecting to hear at least, you know what I'm saying, an Eminem song or a DMX or a damn, who else is very motivational? Kevin Gates, you know.
Kevin Gates,
yeah. But shoot, Lil Baby is like one of the top artists right now. But hey, that's amazing. Brandon be listening to Lil Baby too.
Okay. Absolutely, that's one of his favorite artists, if I'm not mistaken.
Hey, we gotta have you two on one of these together. Just you two together.
Just talking with him about that.
That'd be fantastic,
bro. You know when we need to do it? Right after the fight.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, like a post fight. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's do it.
I gotta ask, because I'm gonna have questions about, like, how are you feeling in there? Because I know a lot of fighters say they black out. And to me, I wouldn't want to black out in a fight like that. I would want to know what the fuck's going on. I would want to, you know, have my memory, because some people, they lose their memory from fighting and stuff. So, like, whenever you fight, do you black out, or do you remember the whole fight? Like, how does it go? Because I know you get into that flow. So how's it go for you?
Hard sparring rounds, usually when I'm in there, it depends on who I'm going with. If it's somebody that I can display my skills against and move around confidently with, I'm definitely talking to myself and I'm very present, very aware, very present, very locked in. Like, you're talking to yourself. You're like seeing everything, picking apart their movements. But man, if you're, let's say my sensei Jason, when he's tuning me up, I am just, there really isn't a whole lot of thinking. I'm just like, can I survive? I'm trying to survive, man. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Oh my goodness.
Man. If I was a fighter, I wouldn't want to think too much. I'd want to be like just straight subconscious. Like, I'd want to be off my instincts. I'd want to be off my intuition. I'd want to be in there like Neo or like Bruce Lee, like dang near know what the fuck they're going to do next. You know what I'm saying? And just,
what is that? What's that stage of like competence? It was from, Your wish is your command. What is that called?
Four levels of learning. So the first step is unconscious incompetent. That means you don't know what you don't know what you don't know. Like there was one point where you didn't know what the hell maybe a lizard was, and then you've seen the lizard, like you know what it is, but you don't really know that's next level. You know what it is called conscious incompetent, where you know, okay, that's a lizard, but then there's a next level called conscious competent, where like, okay, you can talk about a lizard, you know, like how big they usually are, where they live, what they eat, what they do. Unconscious incompetence, where you don't have to think about it. You know, and you just automatic with it. And like that fourth level of learning in almost anything is super key, especially when it comes to combat sports, because you want to be where you're unconscious with it. You just automatically, you know, you throw that certain kick and you do your thing. So yeah, that's the four levels of learning. Conscious incompetent, conscious competent. Unconscious incompetent, unconscious competent, conscious incompetent, and then unconscious competent. Yeah.
I just looked it up just to verify, but yeah. Because that made me, geez, I haven't listened to that in a while. Oh my goodness.
I got to get back to it.
I have not listened to that in a while. It's a good one.
Give it a listen.
He said, yeah, your wish is your command. Oh yeah, you should, bro. Like it will help you manifest a lot of things, man. When I started listening to that audio, that's when I started taking a lot more trips. I'll be real. Yeah. Like, that audio helped me to be able to, you know, manifest things, be able to use my mind. It also helped me be able to, like you said, a lot of us have negative thoughts. So like to be able to replace those negative thoughts, you got to put positive thoughts, positive habits into your life to get rid of the negative habits. And it really taught me how to stay positive, how to be like, you know, throughout my day. Like sometimes I get on a podcast, I'm like, I'm doing good and I'm getting better no matter the weather, because your vibration and your the way that you know what I'm saying, you speak about yourself really is going to determine on how you're going to be in the next couple of years, because what you speak is what you can become, because your voice is a vibration. So like when you say something or you really believe and you speak it, it goes out into the universe. Like the ether, we can't see it with our physical eyes, but like us as a human being, we're almost like Wi-Fi. Like we send and receive signals. You ever just walk into a room and you like, dude, like something's off in here. Like it's negative. You don't feel like being there. It's because that person before you got in the room was either cussing, doing something negative, or they're just a negative person. They are going through negative thoughts. And like your body picks up on that. So you gotta be positive. And that audio really helped me, bro. I think you should listen to that, like probably before the fight. Like you should start listening to it, like right after this, and just start really thinking about like, what do you want to accomplish and manifest? And this is what leads into my next question, because I like to ask people this, because people like you yourself that are looking for success got to have a long-term vision. You know what I'm saying? So, Sim, in the next 5 to 10 years, you'll be what, like anywhere from 26 to like 31. So you'll be in that range. Where do you see yourself at in the next 5 to 10 years? And where do you see yourself?
Next 5 to 10 years, I see myself as a professional fighter. Don't want to make any pre-predictions on a record, but professional fighter, somebody who's way better than this person who's sitting here right now that you're talking to. This is like, when I think about stuff like this, like 5 to 10 years ahead, it's always my hero, but it's always going to be like myself. And I feel like, every time I think about it, I'm like, well, I can see myself as a person who's 10 times better than the version of who's standing in your shoes right now. And that's pretty much it. As long as I'm getting better every single day, whether it be every single day in the next year, next 5 years, I'm just going to be a better version of the person that you're talking to right now. That's where I see myself in 5 to 10 years.
I love it. That's what it's all about, my man. Growth, and, skyrocketing.
Yes.
10X and everything. Hell yeah.
There's one of the guys at the gym, Devin. That man is pretty wise. A lot of the stuff he says can be a little unpredictable, but man, the kid is wise. And it'll be a normal day. We're just chilling, you know, going through, about to start a normal workout, and he'll just come up to me. So what's your why? Why are you here? And I'm like, are you serious, Devin? He's just like, yeah, what's your why? Why are you here? Where do you see yourself within the next 5 years? Like, and he asks that question. You think he's joking, but he's dead serious. And he'll send me stuff like videos, motivational videos, stuff that'll get me thinking in the right mindset. And he always keeps me right up here.
That's a guy that you want around for the rest of your life right there.
Right. Yeah. Shout out Devin.
That's a person that truly cares. That's a person like he's not related. At least I don't think. Is he related to you?
No, I met him like a year ago.
Well, there you go. Like it's crazy. The people that you meet like a year ago, 6 months ago, you know, it's crazy how much those people can become in such a short time. Very close. Like, if not, you know, a good friend, if not considered family in that short time. And it's insane how much they, you know, can do for you and you can do for them.
Yes. Facts. There's a saying that says that your family usually doesn't support you until strangers are celebrating you. So it's okay. You know what I'm saying? You meet somebody within a year, 6 months, they may have more intentions for you, more great things for you than somebody that's known you for your whole entire life. I have uncles, I have aunts, I have people in my family that have never in my life asked me for my why. But I know people that I've only known for a couple of years that are asking me about my why. They're like, man, Marcellus, you're going to be doing great things. You're going to be doing this. You're going to be doing that. I'm like, bro, you only know me for like a year or two. But that's the thing. Most of the time, the strangers that you meet from 6 months to a year ago, they don't see you for where you've been. They don't see you as that little Sim, you know, living day to day, going to school or whatever. They see you as where you're going. And that's the reason why he asked you for your why, because he probably sees the potential in you. He probably just wanted to know like where your mindset was at with it, because there's a lot of people that come into any type of sport and profession and you can see the potential in them. And really, potential really stands for you haven't done shit yet. It's just a fancy word for saying that. But you see a lot of people with potential, but they don't have the mindset. And so he's a good guy for sure.
Mm-hmm. I'll bring up another thing about the guys at the gym and just that whole gym in general. It's like they do a really good job of letting me know my potential and letting me know that I've got it. And then they also do a great job of keeping me humble. Like they'll always let me know that I'm doing a good job and that, you know, like, yo, you're a beast. Like, you're doing great. But then they always remember to just keep me grounded. My sensei, Jason, that's pretty much what he's there for, other than to teach us, is to keep us humble, let us know we got to work on stuff like that. So he's good. He's really good with that. Brandon, Devin, a lot of the other guys at the gym, even some guys at a gym close, Rising Sun. Those guys are just good at giving you advice, taking you under the wing, just keeping you humble and keeping you on the right path. So. Again, shout out to all those guys that wouldn't be here without you.
Big shout out. Big shout out. All right. Well, damn, Sim. I mean, it was awesome to get you on. I mean, overdue in all aspects of everything. You know, you've been on the team for probably close to a month now, but it's been long overdue, and I'm happy we finally were able to get you on and are finally able to announce this to, you know, I guess, to the public, I guess, maybe.
Right, yeah.
But I mean, I know like we've had conversations, but I know it's been a blast for me. It's been a blast for Marcellus. I'm just truly grateful that you are putting your trust in us and the people around you and involved with Triumph and everything and having us in your corner and having support in us to push you and make you a better fighter. I guess not only a fighter, but a better person. You know, I'm very grateful to have you along on the ride with us.
Yeah, man, dude, I just appreciate the opportunity. Again, like you guys actually do motivate me to be a better person. Like, I've got stuff going on for myself now, and that really is huge. Like, so, again, thank you guys for this opportunity. Thank you, Brandon. Thank you, Marcellus. All of that. Thank you. Big time.
No problem, my man. No problem. Marcellus, you want to close it out?
All I got to say is, guys, this was fire. This was heat. And hopefully when you heard some of the motivation that Sim was talking, it made you want to get up on your feet. I'm grateful as well. You know what I'm saying? This was long overdue. So this is 33. This is episode 33, baby. That's one of my favorite numbers, 33. When I see 333s, oh my gosh, I just know that's like my spiritual guide telling me I'm on the right path. But anyways, guys, I appreciate you guys for listening to this podcast. This is episode 33 of the TOD Project. Hope you guys have a great one. We're out.